98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
These are the top stories of the day. We cover them at 4 o'clock every day here on the Burns and Gambo show. You know right where to go at 4 o'clock to get caught up on everything. It's the 4 o'clock reset, and we start today's 4 o'clock reset with the Phoenix Suns beating the Raptors last night, 123-115. It improves their record to 6-2 on the season, puts them in a first-place tie for the best record in the Western Conference with the Lakers, and it starts this seven-game stretch, Gambo, that you've talked about with a win, a seven-game stretch where they're not exactly playing the best teams in the NBA over the next week and a half, and maybe an opportunity for them to really pad their record to start this season.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at these seven games, and they're going to be favored in every single one except for maybe the Indiana game, but the Indiana Pacers are going to be without T.J. Warren. You know, Atlanta could be a tough challenge. They're a good team with a good bench. Detroit, you know, you look at these games, you're like, wow, they should win these. Now, if they can go 5-2, I'll take it because, you know, nothing's a given in this league. Man, if they go 6-1, they're really going to put some distance between themselves and a lot of these other teams that they are going to be fighting with for playoff positioning.
We'll talk more about the Suns coming up in a couple of minutes, but here's Devin Booker after the game last night on how important last night was.
It's a big win. You know, any win that you can come across in this league is important. So, you know, we obviously have some things to clean up, but, you know, for most of the game, we played the right way. The ball was moving. I think we created a lot of good looks for people. And we defended in the first half. We had a couple slip-ups later in the game, but, you know, we brought it together and finished it out.
All right, Suns next up play the Pistons tomorrow afternoon. You'll hear that game on ESPN 620.
Yeah, they're 1-7. They lost to the Bucks last night. They are 1-7 on the season. Pelicans lost last night. The Warriors lost last night. The Jazz lost last night. So, you know, if you're scoreboard watching early, you keep your eye on stuff like that.
The New York Jets announced today they have completed an interview with ASU co-defensive coordinator Marvin Lewis for their head coaching vacancy. I don't think they're the only ones. If I was looking at a story earlier, he's also interviewed with the Lions and the Texans. You think ASU might lose their co-defensive coordinator at some point in the next couple
weeks?
Yeah,
I do. I think if he gets an opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL again, he'll want to do that. I would expect that. He's 62 years old, so if he wants to get back in, he can. You know, he could do that now. Look, there's even some rumors, you know, some rumblings that, you know, if the Texans are going to trade Deshaun Watson, man, the Jets could offer a boatload. They got picks and they got it all. So the Jets could probably make a trade if they were going to move Deshaun Watson from the Texans. He could go be the quarterback there, and Marvin Lewis could have him as their quarterback. But I do think that Marvin Lewis is going to get one of these jobs, and I think ASU is bracing for it.
It's funny. That's our next story. Rumors are swirling that Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is considering asking for a trade out of Houston. Now, I did see a story from John McClain, the longtime beat writer who covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, who wrote, quote, "Under no circumstances will the Texans trade Watson, even if he asks for a trade. He's not going anywhere," close quote. And yet there are these reports circulating that he might ask for one based off the state of things with the Houston Texans right now.
Well, you could get a Herschel Walker-type trade. I mean, you could get so many draft picks for a quarterback like that. The cap hit would be a lot, right? You'd have to really suck it up. $21.6 million. If they traded him, that would be the cap charge for the Texans. But, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of teams. I mean, the Patriots need a quarterback. The Steelers, if this is it for Big Ben. The Colts, because of Phillip Rivers. The Broncos. The Washington football team. What about the Eagles? The Bears, the Lions, how about the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, Tampa Bay, look at Tom Brady's age. There's a lot of teams Deshaun Watson was available, a lot of teams would inquire about him.
The Cleveland Browns not able to practice again today as their facility remains closed due to the positive COVID cases. This comes after head coach Kevin Stefanski said earlier that it's full speed ahead for playing Sunday's game, Gambo. We're talking about a significant disadvantage for a team going into the playoffs, but I guess that's life in 2020 when it comes to professional sports, isn't it?
Yeah, they feel like the lack of practice will not have an effect. Baker Mayfield said, just adapt and play. It's win or go home. So, you know, they played all year long. If they don't get a couple of practices in, they don't get a couple of practices in. They know this team. They played them a couple times, you know, already. They know them like the back of their hand, and the NFL is not going to, you know, the NFL is not going to change everything just to satisfy the Cleveland Browns. Does it suck? Sure, it sucks. They weren't able to get any practices in. They're going to be without their head coach. They're going to be without their Pro Bowl guard who tested positive for COVID. But it is what it is, and the NFL has proven one thing. They're going to make sure these games get played.
Yep, and then finally from Major League Baseball, blockbuster coming down today. Francisco Lindor of the Cleveland Indians, along with pitcher Carlos Carrasco, going to the New York Mets. Here's Jeff Passan.
This is a deal for the Mets that positions them as a team that wants to win a championship. This is Steve Cohen going and saying, I want the best players in baseball to come to New York. And I don't mean the Bronx. I mean Flushing, Queens.
The expectation, Gambo, is that he will make at some point $30 million a year and that the Mets are very prepared to pay that for Lindor.
Yeah, no, listen, the Mets, I mean, they got McCann. There's talk that they could get Springer. You know, they could use a pitcher. They could definitely use some pitching help. But Lindor's only 20, just turned 27. I mean, you've got this year 27, 28, 29. You got 3 years before he hits 30. Kid's in his prime. He hits you 30 to 35 home runs every year. Fantastic player. They've got some good young players that they're giving up, but you don't know if anybody's ever going to approach the level that Francisco Lindor's at.
Yeah. But our top story of the day today comes to us from the Arizona Cardinals, who right before our show began, and they haven't officially announced anything, but we have no reason to think that these aren't happening based off of the people that are reporting them. Some changes among their offensive coaches. Tom Clements, the passing game coordinator and quarterback's coach, retired. The probably most notably, their wide receivers coach, very respected David Rye, was let go today by the organization after spending 2 years with the organization. He actually used to coach with Cliff at Texas Tech. So there was a connection between these two dating to Cliff's past, but he is out. And then according to a report on CBS Sports, the offensive assistant and the assistant quarterbacks coach, Cam Turner, has now been promoted to quarterbacks coach. So if these reports are true, and I have no reason to believe that they're not, sounds like a little bit of a mini shakeup behind the scenes when it comes to the Cardinals and their offensive coaching staff.
Game. Yeah, I'm trying to find out and get to the bottom of this. Rye was he's a well-respected guy around the league. He had a very good relationship with DeAndre Hopkins, and I didn't see this coming. I don't think a lot of people did because he was well-respected and because of the relationship with Hop. You got Jerry Sullivan, who's been a consultant, but I don't know. Maybe it was because of the lack of development for these guys they drafted. I mean, Andy Isabella, second-round pick. Christian Kirk, second-round pick. Keyshawn Johnson. Hakeem Butler's not there anymore. Maybe it's just, you know, you look at the wide receivers and Fitz retires, you're like, what the hell do you got behind DeAndre Hopkins? And you're not developing these players. And maybe they're putting that on the wide receiver coach.
Yeah, I mean, a blame game kind of thing, and certainly parting ways with somebody that I imagine Cliff probably wanted to come on board when he was here. And
of course,
be
Cliff
honest,
was involved with every interview. Cliff was involved with every single interview. You know, he interviewed every single person they hired. He was in on that.
Yeah, I think the final decision was made by Steve when it came to that first assistant coaching staff. But I have no doubt that he was in on everything. Look, Andy Isabella hasn't developed. Christian Kirk, really, if we're being honest about it, hasn't really developed the way you would expect a pair of second-round wide receivers to develop. And, you know, I don't know if it's Rye's fault or not, but in this, you know, kind of scapegoating era where things like this happen in the NFL, in some ways it's really not a surprise that they moved on from their wide receivers coach. I just wonder if this suggests something even bigger at hand when it comes to reconfiguring how the Cardinals coach their offense, given how uneven they were all year. We were talking yesterday about the need to bring in a coach to kind of help Kyler Murray diagnose defenses a little bit better than he has been. Yeah. I wonder if this is a precursor to that.
You know, it could be. Clements, you know, he was a guy that had a lot. He's an older guy. He's, you know, upper 60s. But he had worked with Favre. He worked with Aaron Rodgers. They liked, you know, bringing an older guy like that. But he had been out of the league for a couple of years. I think he was doing something with real estate. And they brought him in, and you know, for a couple of years to kind of assist Cliff, but, you know, maybe they want to bring in some new voices. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either, okay? Maybe you want some new voices in the room. Cliff understands he's got to get better. Maybe he feels like these guys aren't challenging him or he's not getting enough out of them for whatever reason. And it is good every once in a while to bring in a new voice, to hear a new voice, to have somebody else that can bring in a new perspective. They clearly weren't getting enough out of the wide receivers that they have. You know, I don't know if you blame that on the wide receiver coach, on the head coach, or you blame it on the players, because it's possible that the players just aren't good enough.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, even with Pascal Siakam playing like his normal self, the Suns were able to end their long losing streak against the Raptors and get another win. And they did so with something that is now becoming a trend in Phoenix, a total team effort. We'll get into it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's a big win. You know, any win that you can come across in this league is important. So, you know, we obviously have some things to clean up, but, you know, for most of the game, we played the right way. The ball was moving. I think we created a lot of good looks for people. And we defended in the first half. We had a couple slip-ups later in the game, but, you know, we brought it together and finished it out.
That's kind of the funny thing about the 6-2 start the Phoenix Suns are off to, is that I think most of us before the season, Gambo, if I had said the Phoenix Suns are going to start the year winning 6 of their first 8 games, they're going to be tied with the Lakers for the best record in the West, that this is going to be the deepest into the season the Suns have been first in the West since 2009, I think the assumption would have been by many that Devin Booker is starting to have one of those, you know, kind of breakthrough. Well, he's already had a breakthrough season, but that Devin Booker has been the star that everybody had assumed he would be. And in some ways, it's not exactly the exact opposite, but in some ways the opposite has happened. It hasn't been one guy. You can't – I asked Tom Chambers, we had him on earlier, hey, the guy who you're impressed with the most, fill in the blank, who is it? He gave me like 6 guys as an answer. He couldn't pick one. It was impossible for him.
Right.
That's been the one takeaway from this start for the Suns, is that it's not just one guy. It's a whole bunch of guys that are leading this to this.
Yeah, and the bench can carry this team for stretches. For stretches. I think last night they got a little gassed. But, man, I love the bench, right? I do. I love the bench. Are they the best bench in the NBA? No. Are they a top 10 bench in the NBA? Probably. I mean, they probably are. The versatility is what I really like about that bench. I mean, Saric, fantastic coming off the bench, and then Cam Johnson, and then Cam Payne and Javon Carter. Now, when you get to the playoffs, you know, teams, no one plays more than 9 in the playoffs. So, you know, Monty's going to get, he's going to have his top, you know, his top 9 or 10 guys, and that's what he's going to go with. And I think that you're seeing him establish that right now. If you look at the substitution patterns and how guys come in and out of the games, I think it's pretty fair to say it's Saric and Cam Johnson, and then Cam Payne, and then Galloway and Javon Carter, and that's the guys. Because when you get to the playoffs, and I think this team is going to go to the playoffs, you're going to rely on 9, maybe 10. But you're not going to go 10 through 15. That's not going to matter. But they're you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, Burnsy, is pretty damn good.
It is. And in particular, and I mean, we haven't even really seen Etuan Moore contribute that much. We haven't seen the very best that Langston Galloway could do. The 3 in particular, when we saw them all shine last night, Cam Johnson, who 16 points in 23 minutes. He made 4 three-pointers. He was incredible. Dario Saric, who, you know how I thought about how Dario played in the bubble, and even before the shutdown, he was really starting to find his niche and find his role with this team. 15 points, 5 rebounds. He hit a couple of 3-pointers. He was instrumental in that second half. And then Cameron Payne, and I don't know yet what to make of Cameron Payne, only because I know that in the recent history of the Suns, we've seen players like Cameron Payne who have flashed, right? Who have shown you something in a brief period of time, and you've wanted to believe that that was the actual version of that player that you were seeing. And then eventually they just kind of come crashing back down to reality and you realize they're not. If this is who Cam Payne is, if this is the player he's going to be for the Suns, man, this this addresses an issue. I mean, for a while there, Gambo, there were no point guards for the Phoenix Suns. Now you're going to tell me Chris Paul and Cameron Payne are the point guards for the Phoenix Suns, giving you that kind of rotational depth that you're looking for? It's, if that's who he is, what an incredible box to check for the Phoenix Suns moving forward.
For so long, you couldn't get one point guard, and now you feel like you got a pretty good one and a pretty good two, right? I mean, you do. You've got a good one and a good two, and for so long, you were struggling to find so many. Man, we need a list of how many point guards have run through here since their last playoff appearance. It'd be mind-boggling how many guys they've gone through. But I think that he fits a great role. I there was a point in the game last night in the fourth quarter, man. I was just beside myself. I was so happy. They full court pressed, and it forced turnovers. Carter and Payne, it's like that's their thing. Okay, it's like they can't wait to do it. Make the call, Monty. Make the call. There it is. Full court press. It's like when Mickey tells Rocky to switch back to Southpaw, you know? Now! Switch back! Fighting conventional, and then he goes back to Southpaw. I mean, when those guys get that opportunity to go foot, that's what they love. It's like, you know, it's they get after it. They got into that game. You look at that fourth quarter, and once they started, because it was a close game, Lowry hits a three, it's 96-90, it's a six-point game, and all of a sudden, those guys start full court pressing, turnover. Cam forces a turnover, and all of a sudden that leads back up. Saric hits a three. They're up by 15. That defensive pressure, that full court pressure, I thought that was a big catalyst early in the fourth quarter, you know, not letting Toronto get on a roll right there and allowing them to expand their lead.
Yeah. I mean, there were just so many things to like about last night's game. Jay Crowder, 6 of 9 from the three-point line.
Love him.
He was very instrumental early in that game, right?
Terrific player. I mean, just such a good professional. You know, and you know, Monty said it. We had a clip from Monty where it's like, well, you know, we don't call plays for him, so he's got to get his however. But he spaces the floor. He could shoot the three. He's not afraid to take it. And he gives you 100% effort on defense almost every time. I mean, he's a physical player. He's got some length. I mean, there's a lot to like about his all-around game. He's been a great addition for them.
It's good to see guys like Jay, you know, knock down shots and be productive, because we don't run plays for Jay. You know, he just figures it out, and then he's fighting on defense, and he's a willing passer. He understands how to play the game. So I'm happy to see him knock down some shots.
We referenced this yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up again today, and I think it's valid because the next game is tomorrow at Detroit. They start a three-game road trip. We have achieved that point, and I'll be honest with you, we achieved this point last year too. We achieved it a couple of times last year. We achieved it in the bubble, and we achieved it at the beginning of the season when they got off to that 7-4 start. But we've gotten to the point where, once again, Phoenix Suns basketball has become, in essence, appointment viewing, right? Like you,
no doubt.
Okay,
there's a
game. There's a game down, and I'm already wondering, when is the next game? When do I have another opportunity to be impressed and entertained and watch and things like that? And that to me is, you remember, it feels like a long time ago, but it wasn't. There was a time about 13 years ago, 14 years ago, 10 years ago, where this team had that kind of grasp on this valley. And a couple more weeks of this, putting up wins like this, and they will have it. The Phoenix Suns will be, hey, when's their next game? And when's their next game? And you can't wait to see the next one, because it's that much fun to watch.
You know, a lot of those players were homegrown players. And when you look at this team, you know, McHale, drafted by them. DeAndre, drafted by them. Booker, drafted by them. Cameron Johnson, drafted by them. A lot of the, you know, key players on this team. So that's, you know, when you look, Sean Marion was one of their draft picks, right? And they did draft Steve Nash. And they drafted, you know, Amari Stoudemire. And, you know, a lot of the key players were, you know, homegrown players and that they had developed and brought in. And I think you're seeing a lot of that with this team. But I totally agree. Like, you know, I couldn't wait to watch that basketball game last night. And now I'm when's the next game? And then they played Sunday, and then they didn't play again Monday or Tuesday. And it was, it was a little bit of a downer.
It was a little bit of a downer.
Yeah,
it was a downer. It was.
I told you yesterday when we were signing off, because obviously, you know, with your father's passing away and everything, you weren't able to watch a lot of those games. And I said, man, they're fun to watch. Man, they are fun to watch. And they are. It's a fun basketball team to watch. I came in thinking they're going to be a 7 or an 8 seed. And now already, I know it's only 8 games in, I'm starting to think, my goodness, can they do better than that? Can this team be a 4 seed, a 3 seed? You know, is Utah really that much better than them? Is Denver and Portland better than them? That's what I'm thinking now as I watch this team play. Early small sample size, as you like to, you know, see your big sample size guy. I get it. Small sample size, but very encouraging so far what we're seeing.
With Kenyon Drake headed towards free agency, what other veteran running back options could the Cardinals pursue this offseason if they don't bring him back? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, let's send it back to Sarah. She's got our Twitter poll question of the day, and I don't even know if she added the second one that we had suggested earlier. Probably not, but
no.
Just in case. No? Okay. No. That's fine. Probably wasn't worth it anyway, but it might have been funny. Let's send it back to Sarah and get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
The one that we didn't add was, which was more pathetic, the fact that Jordan still had a Beanie Wells jersey in his closet, or that Gambo still has Beanie Wells' number in his phone. And we're not really quite sure what the answer to that is, but...
Burnsy, I just got to admit, I just completely forgot to do it.
Oh.
I think it's funny. I just straight up forgot.
Yeah. It's all good.
Perfectly
no
honest
worries.
With you, the brain is functioning at about 20% today, so...
Hey, you know what? As long
every
as
day.
It's true. And you persevere.
At least it's working at all.
Gambo's envy of your 20%.
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Very well. What? That's what I do every day.
I, is it 19%?
That's what I can do.
21%.
Yeah. It's never functioning at 100%.
No.
You know what 100% is?
No. All right, so what are we, with that one aside, what are we asking out of our audience today, Sarah?
The one poll question that we have today, dang it, that would have been a funny one too. We are looking back at Todd McShay's first mock draft of the year. He has the Cardinals picking 16th, Clemson running back Travis Etienne. I never know which one it is.
You know, I've gone back and forth in this. So Jordan kind of corrected us today. Etienne, right? Etienne.
What I read in one of his hometown papers, they did a story on him. It's Etienne, but so many people started calling him Etienne, and he was too polite to correct them that it's kind of just become Etienne. But so now you sound wrong if you actually say it the correct way. So it's a constant battle.
I'll tell you this right now. I don't want to learn how to say his name if he's a member of the Arizona Cardinals, because I don't want him at number 16.
Okay,
don't
so you're not cool with the Cardinals taking him at 16, which is what Todd McShay says right now. Here are the three options. Two of them are no. The first one is yes, I do want the Cards to take him at number 16. He is a game changer. No, do not take him at 16. Address other needs on the team. And there will be many. Or no, I don't want you taking a running back specifically at number 16.
No on the running back.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in agreement on this. No running back at 16. No, thank you.
Nope.
That is, by just a couple decimal points, the least popular response, but it is super close right now. 36% say, no, don't take him, address other needs on the team. 32.3% say, yes, do take him, he's a game changer. 31.9% say, no, please don't take a running back at number 16.
Yeah, so the overwhelming majority in one form or fashion says no to drafting a running back. It's just they're differing on why the answer is no.
Yeah,
okay, that's the poll question. As always, you can find it on our Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo, always run very, very well. No matter what capacity her brain is actually functioning at, Sarah Cazell runs our Twitter account.
Bless you.
You got it. Speaking of running backs, the folks at Pro Football Focus today listed based off of their grades, and you know, anybody who listens to us knows that sometimes we have a problem with Pro Football Focus's grades, but we're going to use this list as kind of a jumping off point for free agency in the NFL. The top 100 free agents this upcoming offseason. Bear in mind, a lot of these names will never see free agency. They'll get tagged, they'll get contracts, they'll never make it to free agency. So don't expect that all of these guys are going to be available. But there were four names in particular that had Cardinals ties with this list, and we're focusing on the two offensive players of those four guys right here in this segment.
And real quick, none of those guys were rated very highly.
Nope,
they were all rated between 71 and 87. So nobody even in the top 70 when it comes to their free agents.
Which I think somewhat speaks well to kind of the urgency the Cardinals might feel in trying to bring some of these guys back. I don't know if they have to feel like they have to, given that none of them are considered all that great. Let's start with offensively the most high-profile player of the two, and that's Kenyon Drake. The running back checks in as the 77th best free agent this offseason. And they suggest that the Cardinals could sign Drake for 3 years, $20 million with $11 million guaranteed, and you say no thank you.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm at the counter. I just pulled up, and I go, and the lady says to me, did you enjoy your car rental experience? Yeah, it was okay. It was all right. How'd you like the vehicle? It was okay. I liked it. Any chance you want to extend? No. Here's the keys. Here's the key. Here it is. Here's the keys. I didn't damage it. It's fine. I put a lot of miles on it. Here you go. I'm handing it back. I got what I could get out of it. And now, you know, let somebody else rent that car. I rented that car already. I don't want to rent it again. So that's Kenyon Drake to me. I've been saying that. He's a car rental. I said that in the beginning. I'm going to continue to say it. I got 1 year out of him. I paid a lot of money, and I don't want to rent that car again. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go get somebody in the draft or free agency, and I'm going to rely on Chase Edmonds a little bit more.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If he had had a better season than he did, how differently would you feel about this?
Same.
Okay.
Same. I didn't look at him as a long-term guy at any point. I never did. You know that. I looked at him as a short-term, drive him into the ground and hand it back. I don't care if he got 1,000 yards or 1,500 yards or whatever it was. He wasn't as dynamic in the passing game as I thought he could have. I thought he could have caught more passes, and he didn't. He was good. I mean, he wasn't bad. He was good. I mean, it was a lot of money you spent on him, and I thought he was decent. It wasn't a bad running back, but I kind of feel like I could get that similar production somewhere else for less money. Does it make sense?
Yes.
That's what I think. I think I could pay. You know, I'm at one car rental place, and you know that. You know, what do you think about that? I liked it, but you guys charged a lot of money for that car. It was $125 a day. I could get a similar car for $69.99 down the block. And I'm going to go do that. You're charging me a lot for this car rental. I could get it for about half price somewhere else.
Yep. I think I can get 239 rushes, 955 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 4.0 yards per carry for about half the cost. I really do. Especially. In a free agency market where the salary cap's not going anywhere and guys are going to have a hard time getting paid and guys are going to have a hard time getting money and they're going to have to take deals that will be less than what they thought they were going to get, I feel like I can get that production for about half the cost in free agency. For what it's worth, the other running backs on Pro Football Focus's list, okay, Drake came in at number 77. Aaron Jones was number 44. Chris Carson was number 57. Then Drake at 77, then James Conner at 81, Mike Davis at 82, James White at 85, Le'Veon Bell at 86. Those were the running backs on Pro Football Focus's list, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Listen, I would prefer to get one in the draft, not first round, but I'd prefer to get one in the draft to play with Chase Edmonds. I got two. And then, you know, maybe I do sign a veteran as a third running back on the real cheap. But I could get some of those guys you're talking about right there for $3.5 million.
Yeah.
I could get some of those guys for $3 million. I'm going to do that.
The other offensive name of the four listed, and we'll get into the defensive players a little bit, tackle Kelvin Beachum was on the list. He checked in at, actually better than Drake, as the 75th best available player in free agency this year. He was good for the Cardinals, and there's a couple of factors here that I wonder about Kelvin Beachum and whether he could come back to the Cardinals. And then I want to get your reaction to this.
Okay.
Number one, you drafted Josh Jones, presumably to be your right tackle of the future, and you groomed him a little bit for that. Number two, You've got Justin Murray that you signed to a contract. He played right tackle pretty capably a couple years ago. And then number three, and I had forgotten about this until a friend on Twitter reminded me, remember Marcus Gilbert opted out of this past season, and his contract just rolls over next year. So he's under contract next year for the Cardinals, and he gives you some depth if he's healthy at that tackle spot. I wonder if there's any room at the inn for Kelvin Beachum to come back to the Arizona Cardinals with those three guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think you bring Beachum back, and I don't think he costs a lot of money, to be honest with you. I think you bring him back, and I think you like him. I think you like what you got out of him. I don't think you got to spend a ton on him. I think his price tag is probably in the $2 to $3 million range, you know, rather than what they, you know, what they were saying it's going to be at 4.5. Now, offensive lineman, you know, good offensive lineman like that, maybe, you know, maybe somebody else pays him more in a one-year deal. I don't know if he gets anything more than that. But I don't know if you want, like, you know, okay, just because Gilbert's coming back doesn't mean you're going to keep him. His contract may go forward, but I don't know that you're going to keep Marcus Gilbert.
True. Very true. Very true. I'm just saying that, and I think Justin Murray, I would guess, is probably your J.R. Sweezy replacement, ready to go, locked and loaded, because, you know, he's not coming back next year. So, you know, Justin Murray's not necessarily the option at right tackle. I'm just saying he's a option at right tackle, but just something to consider moving forward. When we come back, it was just last offseason, the Texans traded their franchise wide receiver, and it shocked the world. Now with new leadership, would Houston really trade their franchise quarterback this offseason? Rumors are flying. We'll give you the latest next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So, the rumor started, I believe it was a report, yes, from ProFootballTalk.com, that Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Houston Texans, has quietly broached with teammates the possibility of requesting a trade. That alone started a landslide of rumors and speculation all day long on social media. And I mean all day long on social media. Pro Football Talk, I should say, even went on the list. Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Raiders, Broncos, Washington, Eagles, Bears, Lions, Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Buccaneers, if Brady is one and done. The 49ers as teams that he could possibly end up with. And if you just thought about it for a second, Campo, the haul that you could get back in terms of picks and players and whatnot if you made Deshaun Watson available, I don't even know if I can fathom how large that package would be in terms of what you'd get back. It'd be huge.
You know, I said earlier it'd be the Herschel Walker trade. I think you would, you know, that's what you would get. I mean, they got, I'm going to have to look it up to remember exactly what all those picks that they got, but man, they got a boatload. They traded him to Minnesota Vikings, and the Minnesota Vikings gave up a ton of picks, you know, that ended up being a lot of good players. And Walker was at the peak of his career at that time. It was five players and six draft picks. Here's the trade. They sent Jesse Solomon, Isaac Hall, Darren Nelson, David Howard, and Alex Stewart. And then they had picks that turned into Emmitt Smith, Russell Maryland, Kevin Smith, and Darren Woodson. I mean, five players and six draft picks is what they got for Herschel Walker. You're trading Deshaun Watson, you're probably getting a package of 7 to 10 players and picks. I mean, yep. That's what I would think.
Yep, I would think so too. Which, I mean, look, I've seen the reaction on social media. I've seen what John McClain, the longtime beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, what he wrote about this. He said, folks, they're not trading him. Under no circumstances, he wrote, will the Texans trade Watson? Even if he asks, he's not going anywhere.
He's 25 years old. He just had a career year.
Longtime player agent Joel Corey tweeted out, there's a better chance of the Washington football team winning the Super Bowl this year than the Texans trading Deshaun Watson before this draft. Bill Barnwell of ESPN, I like fake trades as much as anybody, but if you trade Deshaun Watson, you should also be forced to sell the team. Most of the NFL community is like, there's no way in hell this is happening, people. It's just not.
You know, you don't know because things change just so quickly in the NFL. And we've seen, you know, players, you know, at times they've figured out how they could get out of Dodge if they don't want to be there. Now, he just signed a $156 million extension just a few months ago. So he's locked and loaded there for a while. He's 25 years old. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. It's probably not going to happen. I would do everything I can to build. I'd bring him in. I'd say, look, we just got rid of the coach and the GM. We're starting over. You want to have a role in it? You want to give us your opinion? Like, you know, we're going to build around you. You're 25. They had such a bad season. Just a miserable season. It was just a terrible deal. But if he wants to force his way out, he can. Now, I don't know if it would happen this year because of how bad that cap hit is.
Yeah.
But if they said, listen, he doesn't want to be here, we're going to trade him, you'd have 10 to 15 teams that came in wanting to deal for him and not trying to make a great deal. Like, we'll give you what do you want? You want our first this year and the next year, and what do you want? Because we'll give it to you. That's how good he is.
You know what? I like where you're going with this, because if I'm hearing you right, I think what you're basically saying is, look, it's really easy to say, oh, there's no way they would
things
trade
change in a hurry.
Deshaun Watson. Things can change, you know. And if he comes back to them and says, guys, I'm done. I don't want to be here. I'm out. I'm going to make life miserable for you if you keep me, even though I just signed that contract. And then they start to realize what they could get in exchange if they did put him on. I mean, things can change. I don't think it will, but I think if I'm hearing you right, you're basically saying, hey, don't just because you assume that it won't happen doesn't mean that it can't. It could if things broke the right way.
Man, his story's everywhere. Saints should do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson. 49ers must bite if Deshaun Watson wants out of Texans. Five teams that should trade for Deshaun Watson. I mean, this stuff's going to blow up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bears should inquire about Deshaun Watson. Jaguars should trade the number one pick for Deshaun Watson. Like, these are the stories that are out there right now. The big lead. The Jacksonville Jaguars should trade the number one pick for Deshaun Watson. Okay. You're the Texans, and they give you you could have Trevor Lawrence right now and start over with a guy that's not going to cost you as much money and isn't a disgruntled player.
Absolutely. I think we're going to spend a lot
of... You got to think about it.
Yeah, got to think about it. I think we're going to spend a lot of time tomorrow, I would imagine, previewing Wild Card Weekend, our first ever Wild Card Weekend where there's six games, not four. A lot of football coming up this weekend. One of the games to watch, I think it's the Saturday night game, if I'm not mistaken, is Washington taking on Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and the Bucks. And today, Chase Young said, look, yeah, I said it. I want Tom Brady. And I'm not apologizing for saying I want Tom Brady.
I play ball. I'm excited to go against the best. You know, the media, that's their job, you know, to stir it up, make it a big story, full game. They needed something. They needed to get something. So they chose that. But, you know, if you know me, my team knows me, I'm excited for every game. And Tom Brady, you think I'm not going to be excited to play against the GOAT? Then you tripping. and that is what it is. I'm excited to play against Big Tom. I'm not going to apologize for saying I want Tom. No, I want Tom Brady. I want every quarterback I play against.
You own it, Chase. You own that. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. No, listen, he's you're a young kid like that. You know, you've watched, you know, Tom Brady's been in this league since you were 5 years old, man. Or, you know, 4 years old. You get a chance to go play against Tom Brady. You want that. You want that opportunity. You know, everybody, I was watching somebody on one of those shows this morning. I had one sack against Tom Brady. You know, I had one sack. I can't remember who it is. But Marcus, is it Marcus? Who does this? Marcus Spears? Who's the guy that does one of those morning shows on ESPN?
Yeah, Spears does. He's on ESPN. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he said I had one sack, but like you remember that for the rest of your life. Hey, did you ever I sacked Tom Brady? Yeah. Here's the day in the game, and you remembered you sacked Tom Brady. This guy was bragging about sacking Tom Brady on his show this morning. So if Chase Young could get to Tom Brady, like, okay, yeah, I sacked Tom Brady. Because there'll always be that, who caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady? Who sacked Tom Brady? Who had an interception? He's the greatest quarterback that's ever played. If you got an interception against him, you're in that list. If you caught a touchdown pass for him, you're on that list. They had Rob Gronkowski on one of the shows today. Tell us a story about Tom Brady. Oh, there was this one time at the horse races, and he took a shot. That's so funny. Really? Tom Brady took a shot. That's funny?
You tripping.
Like, anything about Tom Brady becomes, like, news.
Give that to me one more time. Yeah, give that to me one more time, Jordan. I heard you back there.
You tripping.
Is that Chase Young?
Yeah, it's Chase Young. You tripping. And here's Tom Brady reacting to Chase Young's comments.
He's obviously a great young player, so You know, we got our hands full with that D-line, one of the best D-lines in the league. So Chase is a great young player. He went to Ohio State, so naturally I think the Ohio State-Michigan thing wears off on him a little bit. I understand that. But we're prepared for, you know, a tough challenge. And should be a fun game.
I don't think the Ohio State thing has anything to do with it, man. You're Tom Brady. I mean, people want to – you're an awfully cool notch to have on the belt, you know? I mean, to exactly your point, Gambo, Chase Young wants to be able to tell his kids and his grandkids one day, I sacked Tom Brady in a playoff game, right? And that means something. That matters. That's currency in this world when you want something to brag about. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. And everybody's making a big deal of this. It's not a big deal. He wants to go. Now, that's a good matchup. I mean, I'm like Washington's defense is legit. They're really good. I don't think they're going to win the game. But, you know, Tom Brady's going to try to, you know, do what Joe Montana couldn't, you know, go somewhere else and lead that team to a Super Bowl. He's in the playoffs, and Bill Belichick's watching him at home. It's what he's always wanted. So I think it'll be fun to watch. I'm totally rooting for the upset there. I would love to see Washington find a way to win that football game with their dual quarterbacks or wherever they're playing it.
When we come back, coming off a record-setting season, Hassan Reddick will now be looking to cash in this offseason as a free agent. What kind of contract offers could he get, and will it just be too rich for the Cardinals' blood? We'll talk about it coming up, Burns and Gambo Show.